Hello and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So Jimmy, our listeners may have noticed that we missed an episode last week. Just combination of sick, family emergencies, busy, just was hard for us to get together and do a recording. But we're here, we're back, and we're going to give you all some more fun stuff.
Yeah, it's weird not recording all the time, you know, but it's definitely great to be back. Great to be. Not that I haven't been watching King of the Hill on my downtime.
Oh, yeah. Like, even when you're not doing it for a podcast, you still do it. Like, the way I always see it is I started the podcast because I love King of the Hill. I didn't love King of the Hill because I started the podcast. So, you know, it's always like, it's a Sunday. I'm going to watch King of the Hill or whatever, you know?
Yeah, it's a Sunday. Yeah, man. Thinking about that, though, like, I no longer have any kind of cable TV or I don't watch, I guess. Is it kind of like antenna, digital antenna or whatever? Or live TV, I guess. I don't watch any more live TV. Everything I have is like Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus. It's weird not thinking about, you know, date, like event planning, if that makes sense. You know, like Sundays used to be Simpsons and Family Guy and King of the Hill night. And now it's just kind of like, I watch it when I watch it.
Yeah. Well, I think with new shows, like shows that aren't in syndication, aren't on rerun or whatever, there's still some of that because if it's a show you really want, you don't want to have it spoiled. So usually when a new thing drops on, say Disney Plus or whatever, I will try to catch it the next day or the day of just so that I don't miss it. And I don't want to, you know, I'm on the internet a lot, so I don't want to have things accidentally spoiled for me. I've had that happen before, and it kind of beats the purpose of watching the show. But yeah, I mean, it's still not the same where it was like, if you missed it, you missed it, you know? This is before DVR. Granted, we had other ways to record it, but basically it was like, if you missed it, you missed it, and you had to wait until it eventually came back on. Or until, like, the box set came out or something. I do remember when I was younger, maybe, I don't know, middle school age, something like that, we had a VCR that had a timer on it, and so you could schedule it or record the TV shows on videotape, so we would do that every so often.
Yeah, I do remember that, like, when the family would go out on vacation or be out of town or something, we would put the, like, blank cassette in there to, you know, set it to record, like, whatever special was coming on. I do know, I never, as a kid, woke up early enough. Did the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade used to be on earlier than it is now? Because now it's, like, the afternoon. But when I was a kid, I always remember waking up late and, like, missing it.
Honestly, I'd have no idea. I never really even, I think maybe 1 year I watched it, maybe 2 years I watched it, but I've never really watched it, so I have no idea what it used to air. I could see it going later nowadays, though. I feel like, in general, people are waking up later these days. I have nothing that this is based on. I have no data that I'm referring to or anything. This is just kind of my own gut feeling.
Yeah, but my parents used to record it for me, so I could watch it later, because I was, like, really obsessed with it. I still watch it, but I'm not as obsessed with the balloons as I was before. I do enjoy seeing the Power Ranger and the Pokemon one, though. So, don't get me wrong, I still love them, but as a kid, it definitely was a magical thing.
I don't know. I'm trying to think, and it's funny, because Thanksgiving's around the corner, more or less, and I'm trying to think of, like, what were my Thanksgiving traditions, and I'm starting to think, I have no actual idea. Maybe we watched because I wasn't a football person either, so I didn't watch the big game or anything. So, man, maybe I had a boring Thanksgiving.
Well, I mean, you got the food, right? Like, that's a tradition.
That's true.
So there's the food. See, I feel like all the traditions with my family, COVID's definitely changed everything. We don't do, we haven't done a big family Thanksgiving in like two or three years. Nope, 2 years because 2020. Yeah, we haven't really done it, but like before then it was like the football game was on and like people were playing football and stuff like that. I do remember like because Marvel movies and stuff like that started becoming more in the mainstream. I did become more popular in Thanksgiving with my Marvel knowledge and stuff like that. Like, you know, uncles and cousins would be coming up to me and being like, so tell me, who is the Winter Soldier? And I'm like, well, let me explain. And so now I lost my thing. I guess I'm saying there were family traditions that we had, but they didn't really revolve around me. I did watch a football game every now and then, but I'm not a big football guy unless it's the Super Bowl.
I remember decades ago. Well, yeah, of course. But when I was really young, and maybe this is more of a new thing, I don't know. When I was young, I felt like, you know, Thanksgiving was still somewhat of a sacred holiday. And what I mean by that is that I felt like, you know, most everything was closed on Thanksgiving, save a few restaurants and a few venues and whatnot. So like, you know, we were talking about Luby's on one of the last episodes. I remember Luby's was open on Thanksgiving most of the time because that was where a lot of people just wound up going. Same thing with Jim's, which is a South Texas chain of restaurants. But beyond that, not much, but we would always watch a movie on Thanksgiving. And I remember like when I was maybe, and I don't know, I was in elementary school. I don't remember exactly what grade, but watched Toy Story when that first came out.
Oh, on Thanksgiving? Like in the theater?
Yeah, in the theater.
Oh, cool. I mean, I haven't gone to the movies in a long time for Thanksgiving. I did see the first Twilight movie on a Thanksgiving. I was with a friend and they were like, I was like, what movie you want to watch? Cause we were both trying to like spend less time with our families. And they were like, oh, let's go see the new Twilight movie. So I saw it and it was not that good, but I guess I don't have to tell people that.
Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like only the fangirls think that it was a great movie. I think most everybody, and I feel like even if you ask them, they'll probably tell you like, yeah, looking back on it 10 years ago, it wasn't that good of a movie, but you know, it was a piece of pop culture. So yeah, for the longest time, it felt like only a select amount of restaurants and movie theaters were open on Thanksgiving. Nowadays, it seems like a lot more is open. And then even nowadays, like, it's just insane with Black Friday and stuff. Like, it used to be called Black Friday, and I remember when people would, like, wait until midnight when the doors open and run in. And now they start at, like, 6 p.m. Thursday evening. And I'm like, that's just dumb. Why are we doing that? Like, are we really going to force employees to go out and work on Thanksgiving Day just so that somebody can get a good deal on a big screen TV or something? But now it's different. And then I think it's the same thing about with Christmas, or maybe it's also just where I live. I remember when I lived in Austin, almost everything was closed on Christmas, save for the Chinese restaurants and some of the movie theaters. Other than that, it was pretty much dead. And maybe it was just the part of San Francisco I happened to walk in, but I remember the first Christmas I spent in San Francisco, I decided I would do my normal tradition and go get some Chinese food for Christmas because that's all that was open when I was living in Texas on Christmas Day. So I went to Chinatown just looking for a Chinese restaurant. Any Chinese restaurant would do. And then when I was done, I was just like, yeah, let me just keep walking around and see what I could find. And I walked all the way to Fisherman's Wharf and stuff, and there are a lot of restaurants that were still open.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess, yeah, my family's not a big Christmas family. So, but I usually just stay in and watch TV. You know, Christmas hasn't been really I celebrate Christmas, but if people are thinking about getting me gifts, I celebrate Christmas. Just FYI, all you listeners, you could send me gifts. But yeah, I never really did anything. I was in the habit of watching Star Wars movies for Christmas, and then that kind of they stopped doing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we even saw one. I remember the first of the sequel, the Force Awakens. We saw that on Christmas Day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe that's when I started. Wait, did we watch that at Bob Bullock?
I think we did, yes. So I think I've only ever seen two movies at Bob Bullock, which is, for people who aren't in Austin, that's the real IMAX theater in Austin. There are two other, I call them semi-IMAX. Like, I don't understand how the legal licensing goes with it, but they are definitely not as big as what I remember IMAX looking like when I was a kid. But the Bob Bullock Museum has, like, that huge IMAX. And I think I've only ever seen two movies there, if I remember correctly. And I think both of them I saw with you. We saw Star Wars, and then we also saw, like, a few months later, we saw Deadpool.
I'm so upset that that's the only true IMAX, because it's like the actual big size, like you're like everything else is just a really big screen, but that's true IMAX. Unfortunately, it's in a history museum, which when they first built the IMAX theater there, I know this is kind of boring for people who don't live in town, but when they built it, they declared that they would never play any regular movies at the theater. That would only be educational purpose stuff. So like 10 or 15 minute kind of short IMAX things. But then like I believe Harry Potter changed that, and then they started playing regular movies there. My problem is the seats are not made for watching a regular movie. The seats are wooden and they're not comfortable. And I don't think they have drink holders. I don't even think they
sell. That's true.
I think they sell the bare minimum of snacks back when I haven't been there in a long time. But I know the seats haven't changed. But yeah, it wasn't made for watching like a 3-hour movie.
No, it was originally designed, and it's a lot of these, because there used to be one in San Antonio, too. It might still be there. These IMAX theaters that were really designed for, like, 30-minute films that were history-based, so you could see, like, the Alamo or the history of space travel or something. It's usually a 30, 45-minute movie, but it's on IMAX. Then I think at some point, to make more money, they started having some of these museums that had IMAXs would start doing more theatrical stuff. Like they did before, but it was few and far between the showings. Now they do a lot more of them to make more money, but they didn't really, like you said, they're still a history museum. They didn't really upgrade anything so that they could be a movie theater. They're just a history museum that happens to have an IMAX screen.
Yes, so I do wish there was. I think the closest IMAX to me is in San Antonio, like another true IMAX. And that's a real theater, the one in San Antonio.
Yeah, the one downtown.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do try to watch movies on the biggest screen I can. If a movie I want to see is playing, I will try to watch it on the biggest screen that I can find it at. So just throwing that fact in there. If anyone wants to watch a movie with me, I have some strict movie watching rules, but one is always try to find the biggest screen. Two is I don't watch Marvel movies in Alamo Drafts houses or places that serve food or where there's a wait staff. Cause I don't like the wait staff running in front of me during my first watch of a Marvel movie. Even though they try to duck, it's not like the same thing.
No, fair point. Fair point.
You have any movie rules?
No, I actually, when I did live in Austin, I went to IMAX pretty regularly. Not IMAX, sorry. When I lived in Austin, I went to Alamo Drafthouse pretty regularly. That was like my go-to place. And it was largely because they didn't mess around on like the talking rules and stuff like that. Because inevitably, I'd always go to a movie and I would have somebody ruin it for me because they wanted to have a conversation with the screen or whatever. But now, you know, that's why I always liked going to IMAX, because they just didn't mess around with that stuff. Not IMAX. That's why I liked going to Alamo Drafthouse, because they didn't mess around with that stuff.
Yeah, they're really good about. Though I've never seen them kick anyone out. Have you seen them kick someone out?
I actually have seen them kick somebody out.
Interesting. I've never seen them
kick but anyone. That was like early when they started having that rule. I think when time progressed, people started to know that Alamo Drafthouse didn't screw around. So they either behaved well, or the people who knew that they were probably the type of people to get kicked out would just not go. I think Hank probably would have preferred to take the kids to a nice movie versus a concert in this episode. So let's go jump into it. So this episode is called Get Your Freak Off. It's the first episode of season 7. It is one of the newer episodes, I guess. I kind of feel like this is where the turning point began between the old episodes and the new episodes. In a way, I feel like up until maybe season 9, King of the Hill was great. And then once about halfway through season 9 and 10 onwards, it was still a great show, but I felt like there were a lot of episodes that were misses more than hits. So, you know, now they're in this time, now they're digital and all that fun stuff, and they're experimenting more with the characters. But either way, it was fine. So let's jump right into it. So we're at Rainy Street, and we see the guys in Hank's garage, and he made a shoe tree for Peggy because Peggy said she wanted something for in the bedroom, which that is an incredibly Hank Hill thing to do, to be like, oh, she wanted something in the bedroom. So instead of it being something instead of her wanting to be romantic, she just wanted something practical. We look outside, and Khan's just laying on his horn, and it's Bobby that he's actually honking at, because Bobby has his Discman on, and he isn't paying attention, and he's, like, dancing in the street, and Hank catches on to what's happening, pulls him out, and, you know, he's like, we can't have you discoing in the middle of the street. People will think that we didn't teach you shame. And then Hank was just curious, what are you listening to? So he puts the headphones on, and he's like, what is this music? And then he's like, it's Pimp Franklin. And then Hank's not happy with what Bobby's listening to, so he drives into the music store to, like, hey, let's find some quality music that you can actually listen to. One of my favorite, this is like, so actually I think it's the second episode of the entire series, second episode of season 1, where there's like a sex ed episode, and Hank's very uncomfortable with the slang words for genitals or whatnot, but the actual like medical scientific words made him very uncomfortable. So Hank has this line where he's like, when we were growing up, we used to listen to songs about people falling in love or burning down Georgia, not listening to criminals yelling about their lady friend's baby place. Which I'm like, you know what? That's exactly how Hank probably would describe it in real life. I approve. Bobby comes back with a stack of CDs, and Hank sees the parental advisory label on him, and he's like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to listen to that. And Bobby claims, it's just part of the artwork, but Hank's not buying it. They go to one of those listening stations, and Hank calls it the parental listening booth. So there's like, you know, kind of a either late teenager, early 20s college kid there who's listening to music, jamming out, and Hank comes up and is like, excuse me, I need to use this parental listening booth. And the rocker kid, you know, takes off the headphones and says, oh, hey, that's a great album. And Hank tells Bobby to put it back. Hank goes through all of these albums and hates them for various reasons. A lot of it because it's rap, a lot of it because it's hard rock, etc., etc. Then he comes across this one called Fourscore, or I'm sorry, he does it in the dad way. He's like, oh, the Fourscore. And Bobby's like, no, dad, it's Fourscore. And he's like, oh, man, they look just like the Beatles before they went nuts in India. And they were your stereotypical, like, you remember the late 90s, early 2000s when Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and LFO and 98 Degrees, like, we had that whole boy band phase. So like that, they were pretty much a parody of that. And Hank listens to it, and Hank listens to it, and he loves it. He's like, oh, they sound a lot like doo-wop. Fun fact, I think this is around the time. So the parental advisory stickers, for those of you who are younger, weren't always on albums. I don't have an actual date, but it was either in the late 90s or early 2000s when they were starting to put them on albums. So I think that's kind of apropos for this. Oh, wow. No, according to this, it started in 98. It's 1985. Man, I guess I'm wrong, I thought it happened in the 90s or in the late 90s, but I guess I could be wrong. But yeah, I don't know. Did you ever, I think a lot of people are CD stores still a thing? Like, I know there's like vintage record stores because vinyl's really popular these days and stuff, but do people still go to stores to buy music?
Like, I think vinyl is taking off. Like, I think you get vinyl. Every time I go down Target, I mean, Target still sells CDs, but like, they really advertise their vinyl section now.
Yeah, I could be wrong. I think vinyl is still niche. Like, there are definitely vinyl collectors there, but I don't know that it's like as mainstream as CDs were, or say Spotify or whatever's out there. Because I remember, like, when Sam Goody's CD store was still around, and FYE and all these other Pacific Coast companies that either have significantly downsized or just no longer exist anymore were around. And like, yeah, that was just a place to be on the weekend or whatever. You'd go and listen to the albums, see the new ones coming out, probably buy them. Now it's just like, you can get CDs, but they're all, you know, in Target or whatever. And I feel like it's for a select audience, like people who actually like to collect things versus people who just listen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have any CDs or vinyls. Yeah. All my music's Spotify mostly, but man, I do remember the little parental advisory, like, sticker being on CDs, and like, if your friends had it, it was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. They kind of owned this forbidden music.
Yeah. My mom never let me listen to a lot of that music when I was growing up. But then I had a friend whose mom just didn't care. So during like the age of Limp Bizkit and Korn, when they were like popular, we were definitely listening to those.
Yeah. Yeah. My parents weren't really, not that I was really big into music. Oh, wait. Oh, no, I have to look it up. Now I don't know if I did. I never had anything that had a parental advisory sticker. I just had to look up something real quick on it. So my parents were very, like, on the music, they were strict, but on the movies, they were not. Because I watched a lot of horror movies as a kid. So they were, like, okay with the violence, but they're like, certain words you can't hear.
That's too funny. In the alley, Hank is with the guys, and he tries to bring up casually, you know, Fourscore, like, hey, have you heard of this new band Fourscore? Which I think would be, I don't know, the equivalent of if Hank today, or maybe not even today, but like 5 years ago, was like, hey, have you guys ever heard of One Direction? It would just seem like something incredibly out of character for him. And the other guys pick up on it too and start really kind of making fun of him, like, no, why would I listen to that? They're like, they sound like Castrati. And Hank's like, oh no, I'm not listening to them. I'm just pointing out that they have really good music. And guys are like, good for prepubescent girl. And Hank's like, could a prepubescent girl kick your ass? And then Dale just kind of sits and thinks, and like, you know, maybe she could. All of a sudden, Bobby races out, and he's like, Dad, Houston released a block of tickets for Fourscore. And then Hank's really excited, but the guys are paying attention, so he like tries to save himself by saying, oh, well, I'm just so happy for you guys that you get to see your band. The night of the concert, Connie and Joseph and Bobby and Connie's friend Jordan from the study center are going to the concert. Jordan and Bobby kind of hit it off a little bit. we cut over to kind of the B plot of the story where the dinner is taking place at a Mexican restaurant and Nancy, Min, and Peggy are eating. And, you know, it's funny because Peggy's like, they're in a restaurant that has like decoration, Mexican decorations and stuff, including portraits of Mexican generals. So Peggy is like, you know, looking past their war crimes and whatnot, let's rank the Mexican generals in order of sexiness. And Peggy does that. And then they're like, oh, that's boring. Let's rank the sexiness of the men on the street. And ultimately they come down to being like Boomhauer, followed by Dale, followed by, you know, Con, or really Dale and Con are kind of tied. And then of course, Bill and Hank are towards the bottom. Peggy is upset to hear this, that Hank is on the same tier as Bill. And, you know, Nancy's like, well, you know, Hank's a good man, don't get me wrong, but he is way too uptight to be considered sexy. And Peggy is like, well, I'll tell you what, in 20 years of marriage, Hank has never forgotten a birthday or missed a mortgage payment. And the women are just kind of laughing at him. It's like, oh, well, I guess you thought Dale was so sexy that you cheated on him for 15 years. And John Redcorn are like, oh, yeah, John Redcorn, what do we put him on the list? Back at the concert, Connie makes some comments about how she heard that Chris frosted his bangs. And Hank's like, dang, internet, because she heard it on the internet. Bobby asks Hank for advice on how to ask Jordan to dance. And Hank's like, well, just look her in the eye and say, do you care to dance? Which I guess I appreciate Hank for being kind of straightforward on that. Hank is set to the skybox because that's where the parents are supposed to be. And Hank is kind of upset. He's like, no, I want to see the show. And the usher's like, trust me, you're going to want to be in the skybox. The concert start, Connie knows that Bobby kind of likes Jordan. So Connie puts Bobby next to Jordan. And as the concert starts, they start off very nice with this like doo-wop-y sound, but then they go full boy band and throw off their shirts and they're in like skinny pants and doing kind of a early 2000s NSYNC type of concert. And Hank is horrified, so he's coming down to look for Bobby and Jordan to leave. And Bobby does ask Jordan to dance, but they do not dance in a way that Hank finds appropriate. They're essentially doing the twerk and grind type of dance. But it's funny because they're also having a very mundane conversation while doing that, because it's like, oh, you know Connie from the study center? It's like, yeah. Oh, you must be really smart. Yeah, I'm in trigonometry. Oh, my math is just called math. Hank comes down and he sees Bobby dancing and is horrified and drags him away. Oh, yeah, I've never been to a boy band concert. I have been to concerts in high school, though. None of them were like that. I was definitely a regular at Warped Tour.
The only concert I went to in high school was, well, I mean, other than like Christian concerts with like the youth group, which is kind of, I'll get back to that. But, My only concert that I went like as a, like my independent self was Linkin Park. I went to see Linkin Park as a junior in high school. Other than that, not really. And is this band like a Christian band, or because the way Hank listens to it, he definitely feels like, oh, this is very Christian, religious-y. Like, I don't know, the way Hank feels towards this group, it feels like they are her like Christian pop group, and the lyrics are just without visuals, he doesn't get the lyrics, if that makes sense.
Maybe. I also think Hank's really old fashioned and he hates new music and hates any, maybe hates not the right word, but he definitely does not like things that are mainstream and thinks like everything that's new is wrong. So the band does kind of sound old-timey, like a barbershop quartet or whatever. But then I guess that does bring up the question, like, did he just never listen past the intro of those songs and realize that they were like much raunchier than that? Or I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well,
funny enough, you mentioned going to Linkin Park.
Yeah.
We might have missed each other by a week or something, because I saw Linkin Park my junior year too.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I wonder if it was one of the... Did you see in San Antonio?
I saw it in San Antonio during the Meteora tour.
Man, oh my gosh. We might have. Like, that sounds like a thing where it's like Austin one day and then like San Antonio the next.
Dang. Yeah, they probably did do that. I'm starting to sit and think, because they maybe had different openers, but when I was there, if I remember correctly, the openers were Story of the Year, Hoobastank, and
PD. Yes. Okay. I do think we were at the same. Wow. That's so interesting. Man. And I always remember, because I was never into Linkin Park. Like, I don't know what you would define Linkin Park music as. Pop rock? Rap? Pop rock rap? I don't know.
I think they're official, or at least prior to 2007, because I feel like in 2007 they had a whole genre change. But like the Hybrid Theory album and the Meteora album were classified as, oh gosh, what's it called? New metal.
Okay. Yeah. Then I was never into new metal. I was very like pop guy. But one day in orchestra class, this girl pulled out her violin case and it had all these Linkin Park stickers on it. And I was like, what is that? And then she was like, it's Linkin Park. And then she was like, here, you can borrow this CD. I'm a part of the Linkin Park street team. And she, was Hybrid Theory their first album, right?
It was their first album as Linkin Park, yes.
Yeah. So it was a lot. It was like Hybrid Theory, and I just listened to it all weekend. And then I became a huge fan. I was like, I'm definitely going to go see these guys live.
Yep, the 2004 North American tour. We both saw it. I was trying to look for the schedule. I want to say that I saw it in like a February or an April, but I'm not 100% sure.
Man, interesting. I don't remember. It's been so long. I'm too old. But yeah, I always thought it was weird that Hank seems really invested in this boy band group though. Because he's like, when she says about the frosted tips, and he's like, oh, the internet.
Maybe like they have like two albums. Like maybe it was one of those things where they have like the acoustic album or whatever, and then they have the actual album, and Hank only ever heard the acoustic one, and that's why he was taken aback.
Maybe. Also, I don't know. I guess it's okay for the guys in the alley to make fun of them. But they know who it is. So this band must be very popular. If, like, yeah. It's hit the... What is it? Like, the zeitgeist? Like, even people who don't listen to that kind of music know of these people.
There's a lot of bands out there that I don't listen to. Or don't listen to it regularly, but they're just so pop culture. There's no way you can't have not heard one of their songs.
Yeah.
And they're probably one of those. We're back home. Hank takes Bobby home and Peggy's like, oh, you're back early. And Hank's like, that was a disaster. And, you know, Hank's like, I'm just glad I got him out of there. And Peggy's kind of still reeling from the conversation they had at dinner with the other girls. And it's like, oh, are you so uptight that you won't let Bobby have fun? And it's like, oh, they were dancing, but not like we are dancing. They were actually enjoying it. And then it's funny because Luann is there, but she's, you know, she's always dressed in kind of skimpy-ish clothing. And she's like, man, everything is sex, 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 sex. Do you see how all the little girls are dressing nowadays? Where's the mystery? And she just kind of walks off. And then Peggy sees Nancy and Min in the driveway, and so he's like, oh, so if this is a very sexy, you know, she's thinking, oh, this is a very sexy dance. If she does this, if Hank does this dance in front of me, everybody will think he's sexy. So Peggy's like, oh, I'm having a hard time visualizing it. Can you show me? And Hank's like, okay, but it's for informational purposes only. And he talks like, essentially, it was like those lizards we saw on Discovery Channel. And you just see Hank poorly twerking and stuff, and Peggy's a little turned off by it, and she looks out, she sees the girls laughing at her, so she closes the blinds. Next day, in Bobby's room, Hank is now going to be cleaning out Bobby's mind, and he just takes everything from his room that he doesn't think is age-appropriate, and he puts it in a box, and he says, "This is a time capsule. You can't open it until you're 16. And then he's like, "What is the smut you're listening to?" It's like, "It's Radio Disney." And then Hank picks up a troll doll, and he's mad because he's like, "Oh, nudity." And he grabs the TV and the video game system, and he leaves, and he's like, "All right, have fun." But he's literally taken, like, everything out of Bobby's room. Bobby decides to go and do some weeding. I'm pretty sure he didn't decide. I'm pretty sure Hank made him do it.
I don't know now what Bobby chooses to do and what's a punishment, unless it's clearly stated. Because every time I think about what Bobby's doing something weird, I always think about that, like, where he plays like he's a shoe shiner. Mm-hmm. So what if Bobby's, like, playing like he's a weed picker or something? Like, I don't know what's That's a true. Character for Bobby and what's not a character anymore.
Fair point. Either way, he's pulling weeds and stuff. Dale and the guys are talking, and Dale's blaming the Dairy Council for injecting the milk with hormones, and that's why kids are growing up so fast. And as Bobby closes the bag, he kind of pretends that the bag is Jordan, and he's like, "Oh, what is this, Jordan? Yes, I'd love to dance." And so he starts dancing with the bag, and then Khan comes out and's like, "Man, come quick, redneck boy getting busy with lawn clippings." And then Hank sees that, and he's terrified and rushes Bobby away. They go to, like, a Mennonite compound, I guess. I don't know if that's the right term. Maybe more like a Mennonite village. They go to a Mennonite village, and this is, like, Hank's idea of fun. And Hank's like, "Here, I'm here to show you that teens can have fun without dancing like that." And Hank then goes over to, like, a gift shop in the place, and he buys, like, a straw sun hat. And then Peggy's just so upset because she's like, "You're making Bill look like Pierce Brosnan." When Hank gets home, he hears Jordan's father left a message on the voicemail on how they need to talk about the other night. So they go to Jordan's house, the family's the Bronsons. They go to the Bronson's house, and Hank says that he takes full responsibility of everything that happened. And Mr. Bronson was just glad that he acknowledged that he was a bit too strict and ruined the kid's night. And Hank misunderstands because he thought, "Oh man, you must be." I mean, Hank misunderstands because I guess he assumed that they were on the same page, and you know, he's like, "Oh, but I'm sorry, Mr. Bronson." He's like, "Please call me McBee." McBee asks if they want an appletini, and Peggy's like, "Sure." And then Bronson family, the mom and the dad, are like, "You know, we used to be disciplinarians like our kids, but then we just, or like our parents, but then we just decided we didn't want to be that way anymore. We want to be our kid's friend." And all of a sudden their older son comes in, who's got to be like 18 or 19 years old. And, you know, he was out drinking all night, and he comes in to make the appletinis, and Hank whispers to Peggy to call the police. And the son's like, "Oh, you missed quite a party. Junior and Ray Ray say what's up." And then the mom's like, "Oh, I love Junior and Ray Ray." And when they leave, they're like, "Oh man, we prefer that he drink at home where he knows he's safe. And you should just see when he plays Pictionary Buzz. It is a riot." McBee then says, "You know, hey, it's not too late for you to be Bobby's friend. You can always be there when you need to." And, you know, Hank's like, "Yes, it's too late." And Mr. Bronson says, "We don't want to be a wall. We want to be a door leading to a world of experiences to our kids." And Peggy says, "You know what? Let's take them all out for fun." And Hank's like, "I pick the place." I'm trying to think, and maybe I'm just not having the best memory, but I don't remember any of my friends' parents being that way.
Well, like, a no rules parents?
Yeah, like that.
Rules change from place to place, but, like, there was always some kind of boundaries set, or, like, you know, I don't know. It doesn't feel like their kids are disrespectful to them. It's just kind of like, they just do what they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember having my mom was relatively strict compared to other moms, I guess, a lot of my other friends' parents. So there's varying levels of strictness, but I don't remember any of my friends' parents being just like, I don't care what my kid does. I want them to experiment and have fun and all that stuff. But that's just me personally. But yeah, it looks like Hank's coming up against, I don't know if I want to call him new age parents or whatnot, but he's having to deal with a parent who has a very, very, very different view of raising kids. He's essentially with these parents who want to be the kid's friend, not their parent. They go to an ice creamery, and it looks like it's near that Mennonite village that, by the way, we only ever see in this episode. I don't think we ever see it again, so I'm wondering how far they drove out to go there. The kids are having fun. They're playing like piano or fake playing piano because it's one of those pianos that kind of plays itself. But the kids are enjoying themselves, and Hank's all right, and you know, Nancy and McBee are not having a fun time. Apparently, Nancy is also the name of this wife. And then all of a sudden, the Shaw couple, which I guess is another like fancy family couple out there, comes in, and they are embarrassed to be seen there. And the Shaw couple's like, "Oh, we would never thought we'd run into you here. We're just here to use the bathroom." And Hank's like, "Oh, we're here chaperoning the kids on a date," and they're like, "Chaperoning, that must be funny. Nice job, Ronald Reagan." And McBee's like, "Hey, don't call me that." And then Hank's like, "Yeah, don't call him that." It's like, it must be humiliating for Jordan. Serena, their daughter, wants a limo ride for her birthday. And it's like, "Oh, well, Jordan's going to have a slumber party for her birthday, all boys and girls." And so the Shaw wife is like, "Oh, wow, maybe I'll let Jordan go there." And Peggy says, "Oh, wasn't that exciting? That was just like an episode of Friends." And they said, "Oh, Bobby's invited, so he can come." Back in the truck, Peggy and Bobby are kind of staring at Hank, or begging for Hank to let Bobby go. And Hank's like, "No, no way." But Peggy wants him to hang out with cool kids at the learning center. He's like, "And it's going to be just like, you know, it's kids from the learning center. So it's going to be like a study party." And Bobby's like, "Good job, Mom." And Hank's still refusing, and Peggy's now upset. She's like, "Did you see how cool those other parents were? They were like Chandler and Monica, and we look like Andy Griffith and freaking Aunt B. I hate you. We never get to have any fun." Back at the house, Bobby calls Jordan and says, like, "Oh, I can't go to the party because, well, you know how parents are." "Oh, wait, you don't." And Hank's like, "Yeah, I mean, I must be so mean to you with all the food that I buy and the roof of the head I provide. As Hank leaves, Peggy's like, "I wish I could drive you to the party. But, you know, she lives only 4 bus stops away." And Peggy then, like, says, "Oh, the bus leaves, like, at 6:05, 6:15. And she just leaves money with Bobby so that she could pay. So I guess that was his, like, indirect way to get Bobby to go. At the party, Bobby's a bit nervous because he sees that the boys and the girls are sleeping in the same room. Serena Shaw shows up. She's, you know, stereotypical, popular high school girl, or I guess in this case, middle school girl. And Serena's like, "Oh, you must be Bobby, Jordan's new friend. I'm going to make sure you guys have fun." The adults are going to the movies, and they're like, "Oh, we won't come back until later. And don't worry, we'll honk before we show up." And then they're, you know, as they leave and get ready to go in the car, Serena's like, "Okay, we're going to play 7 Minutes in Heaven." And Bobby is very uncomfortable with the fact, and he runs out the door, and he's like, "Wait, did you leave us a phone number to reach you at?" Oh, gosh. I'm going to go ahead. I don't know. Maybe I'm an old fogey. I'm going to go ahead and say that's bad parenting. If they were college kids, then okay, whatever. Or even maybe like late high schoolers. But for a bunch of 12 and 13-year-olds to just leave them at the home at night and then kind of insinuate that, "Hey, if you guys have a little too much fun exploring each other or whatnot, that's cool. We won't be back till late and we'll honk to let you know when we come in." That just seems like bad parenting to me.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely at nighttime I wouldn't leave my kids alone. During the day, though, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I would leave my kids. I would want to be in the house still. This is a very confusing question. Like, I don't know. When do you let your kids have a birthday party alone? Like 15, 16, when they can drive?
I feel like when they can drive, that's when you can. So now I'm trying to think about my own life when I was growing up. If I recall correctly, we were not allowed to have friends over when my mom wasn't around. That was kind of our rule growing up. Not to say that we didn't. I mean, obviously at times we did. We didn't do it all that often. But then, when was it? Oh, gosh. When I started to become older and could just, like, you know, drive away or whatever, I would start having more, you know, fun with friends, you know, by myself, doing whatever I could on a high schooler's salary or high schooler's allowance.
I can't think of any, like, because birthday parties would usually be like a family thing. Like it would be with my family and my friends. Like, my family would invite my friends. It would be like the lunch all together or something of that nature. Gosh. Yeah, I definitely think this is very irresponsible of the parents.
Yeah, I feel like birthday parties kind of change with age anyway. Like, when you are... I don't know. I guess when you're like, what's the word I'm looking for? When you're really young, like a kid, when I say young, I mean like really young. The birthday's more for the parents anyway. Like when you're 2 or 3 or whatever, you know, you invite the kids' friends over, but the kids are dumb. They don't know what's going on. I don't even think I remember a single thing that happened in my birthday when I was that age. But then, of course, when you start to get to elementary age, and that's when you do like either the pool party or the roller skate party or something. Then maybe you get to middle school, maybe you do a sleepover. Then eventually you just kind of stop caring.
Yeah, I feel like I always, for other people's birthdays, I'm like, we need to go out to eat. We got to hang, like, let's do this thing or let's hang out. But when it comes to my birthday, I'm just like, let's not do anything. You know, like, I don't want to do anything. So it's I don't know. I do accept birthday gifts. Anyone who's listening, hey, you want some?
Oh, birthday, yeah, I mean, gifts? That goes without saying.
I will accept that. I'll accept your gifts. But no, like, no, I do remember, like, I guess going backwards, like, I could have friends over kind of when I was in like middle school, because there was a time where there's like a couple hours when I get home from school and there's no one home. And my parents were okay with someone coming over to the house, but they just couldn't be opposite gender.
Gotcha.
Like, and then it had to be someone that they knew. Like, but I mean, like, we would get, I mean, it wouldn't be like we wouldn't be getting into, like, causing a mess or getting into trouble.
Yeah. I think it's a little different with boys and girls now that I think about it. It's like when my friends could come over when I was in middle school, high school, or whatnot, we would just go up to my bedroom and play video games for like 5 hours. Maybe we'd go out and roller skate or something, but generally speaking, pretty easy to watch us. I think girls, it gets a little more different, but yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. It's not like I've never really had a girl before. Like, I don't have any kids. I have a dog, so I don't know what I'm talking about in that aspect, but yeah. Let's see. Back at the Hill House, Peggy walks out and, you know, Khan's doing some laundry and stuff, and he's just ripped, like, you know, six-pack abs and stuff. And then Nancy is watching Dale work on the lawnmower, but he has a thong on, like, he gets kind of the plumber pant drag thing, and you can see his thong. And then all of a sudden, Peggy looks over at Hank on his mower, wearing his straw hat, and it's like, oh, he just looks like a boring old farmer, and Peggy's just not happy. at the party, there's two kids who are playing 7 Minutes in Heaven, and all the other kids are kind of laughing and making fun, whereas Bobby is like, oh, do you have air? Does anybody not looking in after them? And the kid comes out, it's Dooley and Serena, and Dooley's just like, I want to go home. Next they choose Jordan and Bobby and put him in the closet. Jordan is reluctant, as is Bobby. But, you know, they're like, oh, well, you know, you've got time. You got 7 minutes to get to know each other. Hank comes up and he's like, hey, Bobby, I rented a square dance movie for the family. And he knocks on the door. Bobby comes back to the party. Bobby and Jordan are in the closet. And Bobby's like, hey, let's look through the coat pockets. And Jordan's like, no, we have to do this and stuff. So that she's like, but I don't know. He's like, so they just ask questions about like, oh, what's your favorite pocket? What is it? Pork pocket or whatever. It's like, oh, ham or pepperoni? Ham. No pepperoni, ham. And then people are starting to yell out, throw out some clothes. And Bobby's like, I'll only throw out a sock. And everyone argues for his shirt. So Jordan starts to take it off. But then Hank arrives in the nick of time and opens the door. And Bobby's just like, oh, thank God. And Hank's like, the party's over. Well, he realizes the parents are gone. So he's like, hey, where are the parents? So it's like, oh, they're out. It's like, do you have a game shelf? And so Hank set the party with the kids, and they're playing Pin the Tail on the Donkey. Serena's originally upset. She's like, oh, I'm too old to be playing that kind of game. And then Hank's like, well, I guess we got our first volunteer. Put the blindfold on her, spinner and stuff. Nancy and Min come to pick their kids up, and Nancy and Min are really upset. It's like, oh, is Hank such a boring guy that he would ruin a girl's birthday party? And Connie's like, oh, I'm glad that he came by. I might be being felt up by Clark Peters right now. And Min's like, Clark Peters? What? And then they start to see Hank a little differently. Like, oh, so Hank really came in and took charge. Yeah, he's really good with the kids. Like a big old gummy bear. I guess he's kind of sexy, but not as sexy as Boomhauer or John Redcorn. And so Peggy's happy to have overheard that. We go back to the Mennonite village, and they're having a date there, but they're being chaperoned by both Hank and McBee, and McBee's like, oh, well, do we have to be here any longer? And he's like, just until the blacksmith is done working on my belt buckle. And Bobby's like, you know, I wanted to kiss you. And Jordan's like, oh, yeah. And then they try to do that, and Hank's like, oh, none of that. And then so they start to hold hands, and at first Hank's like, no. Yeah, I guess that's fine. And then a Mennonite walks by and yells and calls them animals, and that's that episode. go ahead.
I guess stuff that threw me off on this, one thing that threw me off on this episode is how ripped Khan was, because he's not like that in any other episode. Like, we've seen him swimming and other things, and this Khan is like, when Hugh Jackman turns into Wolverine, like, huh? He is super ripped. If you were like, Dale's always wearing a thong, I would be like, I probably believe that.
I think there are a few there are a few other episodes that definitely hint at the fact that he wears that kind of underwear. But then there's also other episodes where he's wearing tidy whitey, so who knows?
But on the other hand, like, I wouldn't mind going to the, like, Mennonite thing if I get a belt buckle. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know what there's to do there. But, man, I wouldn't say it'd be so boring. Like, ice cream, that's good. Like, I like ice cream. And kind of seeing things get made. But I do like Nancy and Min coming around at the end to Hank. And at least putting him ahead of Bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Bill and Hank aren't on the same level. I've never been to a Mennonite thing. I've been to an Amish-like community before. Where my grandparents live, there's an Amish community that's like, I don't know, maybe a half-hour drive away from them. And my grandparents live on a farm. So, you know, they go out to the Amish country and they really enjoy looking at it because it's like, oh, yeah, this is how we used to farm back in the day. And I'm just like, okay, whatever, you know. I don't know. I hear Mennonites are somewhat more modern than Amish, but who knows? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be an expert on it. I am glad that Hank came around on the hand-holding, though. Because, like, if he's banned them from hand-holding, I would have just been very disappointed, Hank. I'm like, when you're 12, 13 years old, you're going to start to have interest in the opposite sex or the same sex. And you're going to start having romantic feelings and stuff. And you're going to want to start kissing and holding hands and all that stuff. And sure, you don't want them to do it too fast or at anything. But at the same time, you don't want to completely stunt their development.
I hope it's cupped hands and not interlacing fingers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, then they would be animals.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. The Mennonite comes out and calls them animals when he sees them holding hands. I like this episode. The only thing that really upsets me about the episode, and I don't even know that I'd use the term upset. It's just the whole Hank. On some level, I agree with Hank on some things that, you know, they are having Bobby do things that were probably not age appropriate for him at that point in time. But on the flip side, I feel like he took it way too far too. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, I do think Hank is old and out of touch, but I do enjoy an episode where like Hank comes around. Or not Hank comes around, but like Hank's style actually helps the situation.
Yeah. Well, I do agree that they should not, like, these kids are 12, 13, 14 years old. They should not have been left alone, unsupervised, until, 11 p.m. or whatever. I think Hank, in that instance, probably did the right thing. But other than that, like, some of the stuff he did was pretty extreme, like, with the music and whatnot.
Though, I wouldn't say I would think it's a crazy reaction. Because, like, for Hank, his world was rocked. You know, he went to the concert and he thought it was going to be this wholesome, innocent thing. And then even for a boy band, those boy banders were like grinding up on that. Like, that was like an intense boy band concert. That wasn't like an NSYNC show.
I guess. I mean, I guess you do make a very good point there.
I don't think his overreacting was justified, but like, I could see, like, if I had kids and then I got really scared to, like, flip out for a minute. I do think the next day it would be like, okay, I did overreact. You can have your teen peoples back. But not that naked troll doll because, you know, nudity.
Yeah, no, that was a little too far, too. Because, okay, yeah, they're naked, but they also don't have any parts. So it's like, who's getting that offended by it?
I do love any moment we get to, though I wonder why his troll doll was naked. I don't know if we're going to go over this episode. I don't think we are, but the one where they get mold in the house.
Yep.
And then like Bobby did we already do it?
No, we haven't done it yet, but we might have it on the list. I need to check.
Okay. If we do that, I don't remember what it's called though. But Bobby has troll dolls in that episode. And every time I think, I love something where it's like, okay, Bobby collects troll dolls. And that's kind of a staple throughout the series. Like, something that happens that it's like, this is kind of a continuation. So I enjoyed seeing a Bobby troll doll thing.
I think they sold, I could be wrong, I've never owned a troll doll, but I think they sell them nude and then you have to like buy clothes for them or whatever.
I do. Oh, I know my cousin had troll dolls and when she ever brought them over, they had like little jewels in their like belly buttons, though, I believe.
I remember that.
So, but overall, this is a really good episode. I really enjoy it.
I agree. And we're going to have another good episode coming up here next week. We will be doing Peggy's Headache, which we kind of referred to in the previous episode, Bystand Me. So until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.